This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Here we go. Hour one, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. And hey, there's Brian Broaddus, Super Bowl winning scout, former Cowboy scout, NFL executive. Krusty's Corners coming up at 3:40. Lucius Alexander is in the Pimp Cup at Master Control over there, 75 and Fitzhugh. Fixing to go 5 hours flawless. Has LA Live every night, 5:40 for you. Wolchuk and Chia follow. You do have Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thethefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. How the heck are you guys?
Doing great, bro. Doing great.
Right on. We totally put the Micah Parsons trade storyline to bed with Jerry Jones this morning, saying it's never been uttered. Okay, so I think that does significantly signal their intentions. But I'm ready for probably a lengthy negotiation on this because of, you know, just how important a couple of million is going to be to them as they play it extra tight. Our old buddy Jeff Kavanaugh on X today, looking at the Eagles' dead money, at their high-quality players that have been paid, and the Cowboys are under them in everything,
yeah.
You know, and failing to come up with the resources. You know, I think what that comes down to is the Cowboys are scared of overextending themselves in a way that would cause them to be bad and irrelevant for a couple, two, 3 years. I think that's why we get this approach to the cap. What do you guys think?
I mean, I do. They love their cash money dollars, and their cash spending is lower than most, and has been for a while. And this is part of the reason why I was against paying Dak, because they won't pay Dak and still go all in around him like the Eagles clearly have with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah,
but Jalen Hurts can still keep winning games, being paid a bunch of money because he's got a bunch of good players around him that are being paid as well. That's the perfect example. But the Cowboys will allow that contract to dictate all these other things, and now your roster will shrink in talent, and they'll just hope that Dak makes up for that when he's proven for a decade now, good quarterback, not that good. Jalen Hurts has proven that too. Even the Eagles know it. They have the self-awareness to know, hey, we can't give him the Mahomes money and then make him Mahomes and just destruct all the talent around him and hope that he can go still win games. We're going to have to keep putting talent around him.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys will not do that.
No, they won't.
And that's part of the reason why you're interested in maybe moving on from Micah, because that's just another contract that they're going to add to the list of reasons why they can do nothing else. Other than hopefully they get the draft right.
And when they do eventually dig out of that, their moves to try to put them in over the top are underwhelming, like Cooks or Gilmore, Wolchuk. You know, I don't think I want them to trade Micah. You know, I think it was Steven who said yesterday, you don't get better in the NFL by giving away elite players. What I think they need to do is that with that next step down, your sometimes Pro Bowl guys, those are the dudes they don't need to pay. Like Terrence Steele, you know, Ezekiel Elliott's contracts, I think are much more significant issues. You let those guys go. You keep your all pros and elite guys. You pay them well. And, you know, and we'll see how they can draft to pull out of this. But what are your takes? What are you thinking about this story?
Yeah, I mean, I've never really understood why they
why they handle the cap in which they do. I think for many years now, we've kind of looked at this and said other teams find ways to be creative with this, and you are kind of dug in how you think about it. And maybe it is. I mean, for a long time, we talked, were they scarred over big free agent additions like a Brandon Carr, the list that you gave, Brian, when you were there with the Jason Fergusons, Anthony Henrys.
We were
right?
awful.
They did. They were players in free agency for a while until about 2010.
Drafted and really
Ken
bad,
Ken Hamlin,
too.
You know, those, and then they decided we're going to go off this. So I think that they've, and I've always thought they kind of tilted too far one side. Now it's all about draft and develop, which is great, but you can't use that as your only avenue. You brought up Gilmore and Cooks. Those were good trades, but again, they were savvy moves at the price in which they wanted. They were cheap. Sometimes you got to kind of be a little bit more aggressive. Maybe you do overpay a tad to try and put you over that mark. Now, they're not there right now, but I think that what Steven said ultimately, disregarding Micah, I know I've never felt they were going to trade Micah, but they do have to look at how they're, to your point, some of these contracts, are they getting the most from guys like Donovan Wilson, Terrence Steele, right? Do they want to bring back a DeMarcus Lawrence who hasn't been playing this year? Now they've paid Trayvon Diggs. He's probably going to miss 2 years within the first three of that entire deal, right? Some of these evaluations, when you look at where's their dead money, paying Michael Gallup, they need to prove that they can learn from their mistakes. That's not something they've really shown that they can do.
Yeah, yeah. There's not an evolution. It's kind of like we're stuck in this gear, and we know where this gear goes. And if they'd had a better teams or a significant amount of postseason success, you would let that ride, you know. But it's my belief that everything is going perfectly for them. They don't want to tear a team down, trade good players, get picks. They want to tear it down to the point that they still think they can make the playoffs or make every regular season game meaningful. And if they beat Tampa, then suddenly week 17 and week 18 will have, you know, an added layer of meaning. They want the tune-ins to regular season games guaranteed. And I just don't think you can get to the absolute top. And that's been evident by the fact that even when they've had the number one seed, they clearly haven't been the best team, you know, or the favorite to go ahead and win the Super Bowl. On the idea of restructuring contracts, Jerry said, you get a limit as the availability of the cap in the future when you flip those switches. It's a different management when you got the high-priced players at quarterback.
The cap also keeps going up and up and up.
Yeah. Yeah, you can absolutely do it. I just think they're, you know, they want to make sure their floor is as high as possible as they're going through this mini rebuild or the Cowboy rebuild they do. Brian, what do you think?
You know, it's funny. I was going to ask you guys this question because you guys are really good with this money stuff. And I was just looking at over the cap again, and I was looking at value of players mm-hmm. for what they're getting for the players. And maybe this is why they don't spend. It's just a thought. $17.4 million out of Brock Hoffman. Him playing right now, his value
wow.
to them. To Lawson, 14.3 as an edge. These are $1.1 million players that they're playing right now. Dowdle, $12.8 million value for the player. Adoga, $12.7 million per for what they're getting. 1.1 player right there. Do you think they're looking at these guys and they're looking at free agency and they're saying, listen, we're getting value just by going out and maybe bottom fishing a little bit here, that we're hitting on some guys like Hoffman.
Don't you think a little bit is sample size with the quality of opponent creating metrics maybe aren't sustainable?
I'm just looking at the sure. just overall value of the player.
But you they know, also, and, like, Brock Hoffman was a backup, wasn't playing. They didn't plan on playing him.
But
Rico Dowdle, they waited till the Washington game to play him. They weren't playing him. Like, Lawson is a nice find. And those things they have been good at mm-hmm. occasionally at finding. Yeah. But that's the issue. You can't be too reliant on that. If you hit on one of those guys like Carl Lawson,
they've hit on four.
Good.
They've hit on four of
yeah,
these
but,
guys.
Some of those guys are now playing because of necessity, and they didn't
well,
show
I mean, but
that,
that's what
that
I'm
wasn't
saying.
A plan, they, though, for them.
They're looking at this if this guy has to play. I mean, they're looking at it like this guy's on our 53. He might have to play. So
Would you give Brock Hoffman $12 million a year right now?
See, that's the problem. That's the problem right now. Brock Hoffman was battling for the starting center role. He could have been your starting center, but they drafted a guy, which we all agreed on. We all agreed that BB we thought was a better player.
Yeah.
But I mean, to me, if they're probably looking at this right now, I'm just saying what they're looking at right now.
Their team today, sure.
If you want to contend, you got to find those values and spend premium dollars for all pro players.
But that's what they're probably looking at.
I mean, a starting tackle is over $20 million.
They get $33 million from Micah Parsons as a player. right?
Yeah.
They get Steele is playing better. They get $18 million. He's, you know, his that's only $2 million more than what he makes.
They do some things great, Brian. They just don't play their entire hand.
I'm trying to maybe give a reason why they're doing. Eric Kendricks is a $3 million player for them a year.
And that's a good free agent signing.
$15 million of value there. So they look at this probably, I'm not trying to defend him. I'm just saying maybe they're looking at this as like, you know what? We're going to be very top heavy at a lot of positions. We're going to have the highest paid quarterback. We're going to have the highest paid receiver. We're going to potentially have the highest paid end. And now they're looking at, they're hitting value on Hoffman, Kendricks, Lewis. Lewis is a $14 million player to them. A value he gets paid $2.8 million. See, I think that's what they're looking at. They're like thinking, listen, we've got a bunch of high-end players. We'll trust that we could bottom fish this thing.
Well, after 15 years of bottom fishing, they've gotten good at that.
Yeah.
No, they've proven that can keep them afloat.
I'm not defending him. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying maybe that's their
that's what they're thinking.
That's totally reasonable.
We can do enough of these
but
and push
gotta
it to
adjust.
The top.
Yeah. But you got to adjust, right? You got to tweak it. Once it hasn't worked to get you over the hump, okay, we've got that down. Don't necessarily stop doing that. But I mean, what am I going to do now to get to the next level? You got to change something here.
I feel as much as we talk bad about the front office, it's got to be some of the best scouts in the NFL, considering over the last 15 years how well they've drafted and how many guys like that they found. And you can go back to a lot of those years and find examples of those kinds of players.
They're the unsung heroes of the organization.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out why they don't do what they do when it comes to going out and spending money on other teams' free agents. That's the only thing I'm trying to
get. And look, it's not to say day one of free agency where everybody's going to get overpaid, you got to make a big move. But maybe you don't wait till week three.
It used to be actually the more you spend, it didn't increase your chance as much at all, you know. But now the trend has shifted towards you get close and then you throw in a couple of, you know, usually it's trades for all pro level players because it's so rare the greats get to real free agency. Potential Stanley Cup final preview last night and the Stars beat Washington 3-1. Rupe hence 2 goals. Leon Bischel. Second goal of his career after debuting just last week. So that's freaking awesome. Stars don't have the best record, but they've won 3 of 4, and they needed that. They were on a tough skid there for a couple of weeks. Defense is better. I think Ottinger's on fire right now. Another 25 saves last night. We need that Otter in the postseason. I think this team's ready to win a Stanley Cup.
Well, adding a player like Leon Bischel, and hopefully, you know, he continues to progress in how he has in his first couple NHL starts. But the physicality at 6'7", he's already got 11 hits. That's something they've lacked in the postseason. But then also being able to have a shot that, I mean, the game-winning goal yesterday, they've missed that. So he's a guy that can definitely help where they've been weak in the postseason as a defender that can also run point. That dude could be your difference maker.
Do you think he likes the Big Bish nickname?
I think it's badass. Although Ben Bishop did have it too.
Yeah.
Former goalie.
I think I'd be all right with that. Like, you know, maybe that's a short version for SOB, you know? it's a B word to play against that guy. I think you can make it work.
Right, right.
I don't know if I'd, you know, be that inclined to it. SMU's getting ready to take on Penn State
in the
Saturday.
Snow.
Coach Rhett Lashley suggesting the December portal window should be eliminated.
Yeah.
Decrying players have to make decisions about whether to transfer to play in the college football playoff. How do we handle this, Brian? What's the most wise decision?
Yeah, I tell you what, not a big James Franklin fan here.
Oh, no, I'm not either.
But he actually made a good point. They lost a backup quarterback yesterday that really didn't want to leave. You know, he didn't want to leave the team, and he was forced to leave the team because if he didn't get in this window, he wasn't going to have a chance.
Yeah.
And so he had to go. And Franklin's point was, why can't you make it after the playoffs?
Yeah.
You know, why can't you do that? You know, there's I was talking with Dane Brugler about when the date for juniors to declare for the draft. And there's one date for teams that's not in the playoffs. And then a date for the teams that are, say, get into the championship and stuff like that, for their players to declare and things. So There's ways to work around these things. We just haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, still filling out a lot of stuff in college football and how things are going to work. So, but hopefully that can, you know, get some people talking about it. You think SMU's in trouble in the snow?
I think they played the Fenway Bowl last year, or the Pinstripe Bowl. They played
against Boston College.
Yeah, it might have been the Fenway Bowl. They played in some pretty bad weather up there. This is going to be difficult for them, as much as they throw the football.
Yeah.
You know, in the snow, the cold, the grass and all that stuff.
I mean, like, Rhett Lashley came from Miami, and I'm pretty sure a lot of the personnel is like Miami guys.
Yeah. This could be a little tough for
them. Yeah, it's definitely not a good thing.
This is where home field advantage helps you.
Maybe Kevin Jennings. You know, use those legs.
It's been nice since, what, Saturday? That probably isn't doing him any favors, the 73-degree weather or whatever it was today.
This is when we got to figure it out. SMU's got all the dollars. I mean, they need to have some type of
refrigerated field house.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what they need. Or go off somewhere. You had 2 weeks.
They got the ice house, the bar down the street. Just go hang out now.
Coach Lashley, I mean, I'm putting the guys on a bird, and we're going to go spend 2 weeks in the cold preparing for what is the biggest game.
I would have definitely considered taking the team the week. Yeah, 2 weeks. I would have considered taking the team somewhere on the East Coast and just trying to practice.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hell, go up to Canada, Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
Something like that might have been
a little extreme, but.
Yeah. High school junior Blades Brown, top ranked golfer in the class of 26, announcing he's turning pro. Joins Tiger and Bobby Clampett as the only players to win a medal in both U.S. amateur and U.S. junior competitions. Yeah. This might be the next big guy. 23 became the youngest in 2023 became the youngest medalist in a U.S. amateur and the youngest since 18-year-old Bobby Jones in 1920.
Yeah.
Got a lot of names going along with this guy. Played in one tour event under a sponsor exemption last year. Finished 10 under. Tied for 26 in the Myrtle Beach Classic in May. So, golfers, you got another young guy who's firing up the ranks, going to turn pro, skip college.
This goes back to a lot of these parents just go ahead and say, listen, pick a sport, but they pick the sport for you and ends up you're playing golf. They take you to the country club and throw you out there and you go play and then you get better at it. And then you know, next thing you know, you're got your name on your bag and walking the fairways with the big boys.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds fun, man. We're getting young players more advanced in all sports.
A lot more. The tournaments, these junior tournaments and stuff that these parents travel these kids all over the country to, they're just getting far more competition doing that. And college golf has really gotten a lot better as well.
We got G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. Little Cowboys Would You Rather coming up next here in the Nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Segment of the Nation is brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car or truck wreck due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels and get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online, frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Time now for some Cowboys Would You Rather. Zachary.
All right, so one of a legendary Tolo, Churd, actually hit us up on the social medias and had a question. And this is like, all right, let's get in our draft time machines. Go back in time over the last 10 years. A couple of draft decisions the Cowboys made. Which one would you rather have back? We start in 2017. You could go T.J. Watt instead of Taco Charlton. That's probably the most debated, most discussed that we've had over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay, 2016. How about Jalen Ramsey and either Chris Jones or Derrick Henry instead of Zeke and Jalen Smith? 2019. DK Metcalf or Terry McLaurin over Tristan Hill? 2021. Rashad Slater, Creed Humphrey, and Nick Bolton. Just say you go all three over a Micah Parsons. And then 2023, Joey Porter Jr. and Rashee Rice over Mozzie.
I would do the Zeke one. I get Chris Jones.
And Jalen Ramsey instead of Zeke and Jalen Smith?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll take that.
That's the one?
Mm-hmm.
I really like the idea of instead of Tristan Hill, I'm making a big upgrade at wide receiver because I can kind of live with the other things.
Yeah, like it's hard to go like 2021. Like I get it. Maybe their draft strategy changes. Obviously, they needed a linebacker. They probably would have taken Bolton. I know, Brian, you were all in on that one.
Give me the who was with Bolton? It was Slater and who else?
He also put Creed Humphrey,
the center.
That feels a little unfair.
I think that's a little unfair. I think we would have to just go Slater and Bolton.
Yeah, that's
over Micah.
That's kind of where I was dancing when the draft and when we were talking about this. That's how I was going to go 1-2.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Joey Porter Jr. or Mozzie. And I loved Porter Jr.
We all did.
Man.
We all did.
I think I had him as like the eighth best player on my board that year, but they went Mozzie. But these are all very intriguing to me. I mean, obviously, TJ Watt over Taco. Like, the best player of the bunch that we're talking about here, probably TJ.
Okay, you said Taco. And what was the other players that were picked, please?
It's TJ Watt or Taco.
I mean, just give me the Dallas player.
You've got Zeke and Jalen Smith.
All right, so Smith and Zeke, okay.
That's the one, dude, because you get Ramsey and Chris Jones. Those guys benefit you in 2016 when you were on a run, and they're still playing at Chris Jones a super high level and Jalen Ramsey at a pretty still
I was trying to,
impressive level. Like you have that's almost a decade's worth of dominance from two cornerstone pieces on a defense right
now. I was trying to see which one of the players you drafted was the absolute worst for you. I'm not focusing on the other guys.
I think who was
the player of when you made that pick, just write down all the names and tell me who you think the worst player was. Because you could say what you want about Zeke. I mean, he had a career that was, you know, it's like, it's not a total bust career.
No, those two years were awesome. I'm trying to
see which one was the absolute worst pick out of that.
Hill or Taco?
Yeah, you got Taco, Zeke and Jalen Smith, Tristan Hill, Micah and Mozzie. Maybe it is Taco.
It's Taco or Tristan Hill. I mean,
yeah, there it is. And that Taco one was at a...
And Taco was a first-round pick.
So. Yeah. Or TJ Watt, who's maybe the best defensive player in football.
See, that's...
That's a big one.
I'm just thinking to me that the worst player that they drafted in that crew was either Taco or Tristan Hill.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm trying... That makes it even worse for me.
And by far, TJ Watt's the best player out of this group, right? Or maybe not by far, but the biggest difference, the biggest gap, opportunity. I mean, Tristan Hill to DK is pretty big, but either one of those two, if you could have undone it, I think Chief makes a good point, but I think you've spoken at length at how difficult it is to find a quality running back, so we're getting done
here. That's true. But especially with that Cowboys offensive line, there's many running backs that you could have had in 2016. Now you're adding Chris Jones and Jalen Ramsey.
I just have like Joseph Randall and Darren McFadden trauma right there.
Yeah,
in that offseason after 15.
That's fair.
Oh, I understand.
That was a bad place to be.
Because Slater, I absolutely loved him.
Yeah, having Slater and Bolton. I mean, if you were to have Rashawn Slater on your line right now, and then Nick Bolton is your, but you don't have Micah. But yeah, that might be helping your team on both sides of the football. 100%. I get that.
When you start to talk about like off ball linebackers, I thought
he's fantastic.
Bolton was one of the best ones I'd seen.
But they looked at Slater as a guard, right? Not a tackle.
Yeah, pretty much.
972 asks, how do these guys get so misevaluated where they end up as busts?
Yeah, it's crazy. This is where the Cowboys, I think, have a little bit of a lot of a disadvantage. They overanalyze this thing. And what happens is you got a lot of voices talking. You got a lot, you know, instead of maybe like here, present the information, maybe you have one or two decision makers.
Yeah.
Trust me, I like dialogue. I like watching film. I like putting the boards together with guys. But you know what, though? The decision for it needs to be made by one or two people. And what happens is you get coaches involved. You get scouts involved. You get Jerry Jones involved, who's talking to maybe other people. You know, maybe he's talking to Bill Belichick or Barry Switzer or any of the other people that he talks to. That's a recipe. And then sometimes you get influences in the room. Those coaches can influence the way a draft goes.
They believe they can coach a guy up.
Dan Quinn, it felt like these defenses when Dan was here was pretty defensive heavy drafting. Was because Dan Quinn was the one willing to go out there to those schools and say, oh, well, hey, I like Boss Man Fat. No, hey, I like this guy. I like Izzy McQuamu. I like, you know, all the... He went out there and kind of put it on the line. And I think
Rod liked to reach for pass rushers.
And Rod had his way of doing things. Like, you know, he's like, well, I've never drafted a one technique. I'm thinking, man, Booger McFarland was pretty darn good for you guys during the run with Simeon Rice and all those guys. So, yeah, I think what happens is you have too many opinions, and then all of a sudden trying to come to a consensus just really mucks it up a little bit.
The other consensus that's interesting, though, is why was Chris Jones slept on? What was wrong with him?
Yeah, man, Mississippi State.
Well, it's because he tripped during his 40 and his piece fell out.
The 40 was funny.
Oh, that was that guy?
He did get made fun of for that, yeah. But, I mean, he went top of the second round, but, yeah, hindsight, he should have been top 10 pick.
Yeah, and it's hard to find pass rush outside of the top 15 guys usually. It's, you know, a much less than a 50% chance.
Yeah, these kids, they sometimes have some problems where, you know, we make too much with the interviews, you know, medicals. There's a lot of things that go into this. I just think with the Cowboys, from my own personal experience there, it's talked about way too much about that. And I think that gets you in trouble.
214, be honest, who was responsible for Taco, McClay or Marinelli? McClay owned it.
McClay got mad at me. McClay got mad at me one day. He said, listen, he says, I heard what you said about, you know, Rod. And he goes, That one we all wear. And I'm like, okay. I just was hearing that maybe that they as a group did not think that he could play as a pass rusher, that Watt could play as a pass rusher. But Will says, don't put that on that man. That's all of us.
John Heyman went 5-time yesterday. We have a vacated title, and it's time now for Lucius Alexander to present your G-Bag of the Day.
Yeah, big lizard. Here, lizard. Whoa! So I was on the treadmill. Did pretty good. That incline was crazy, like 12. It was ridiculous. I was killing it. Jeez. About 35 minutes into it, all I could think about was Taco Bell tacos.
As the calorie counter,
15 more minutes to go. All I could think about.
Cheesy gordita crunch.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get too crazy. Doritos Locos.
I didn't want to get too crazy. I said, I'm going to keep it. I even Googled it. I was like, so let's see what the nutrition effects of this Taco Bell taco is.
Justify this.
Yeah. I was like, wow, that's a lot of protein for a taco. Let me go ahead and get that.
Yeah.
I got 5 of them in the bag.
Good for you.
I ate 3 of them so far. Now I'm sleepy. All right. So here, vacated title, like my man Dawson said. This is not one. I'm going to jump off. This is not one. But did you hear from the number 2 rodeo cowboy in the country, John Krimber? He's also Travis Hunter's best friend, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah, listen to this.
Your best friend just won the Heisman, my friend.
You guys dang right. I told you he's going to win.
Right.
I hit it over there at the Fort Worth PBR World Finals. Because it was like I was... had in my mind that he's gonna do it. So congratulations, Travis. You deserve it. You're bad son gun, all right? Let's just say that. You're my hero.
Gosh dang right, man. Gosh dang right. I sure did.
Is it my brain and my thoughts?
I thought that was funny right there. All right, let's get into it, folks. Let's get into it. It's a vacated title. Let's go to the Fan After Dark.
Oh no, here we go.
Oh baby.
Now, your boy Blake had a root canal. Ooh. It got infected.
Oh, no.
So he had to go to, like, the care now type of situation. It's like, hook me up, doc. It's in pain. I need a shot, maybe some penicillin.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He didn't know how penicillin worked. You know, you don't get that in the arm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's in your butt.
Yeah.
All right. Well, he's going to tell the story.
I'm complaining, sitting there on the urgent care table, whatever, with the plastic.
Yeah.
Next thing he knows, he goes, you want the pain to go away? Kind of licks his chops and said, yes, doctor. I'm not even looking at him at this point.
I
turn around. He's got the longest needle I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, it's a penicillin needle.
And he said, well, I'm gonna shoot you up with this and you'll be feeling better. I said, okay, here's my arm, sir.
He's like, nope. He's not that mangly ass little arm. He goes, go ahead and drop trowel, chief.
He goes, I'm gonna need you to drop the trousers.
Whoa.
Yeah. What do you mean? Right up the shooter. Right up the butt.
What?
Boom. And then I was like, okay, that wasn't too bad. Wasn't too bad. He goes, there's one more coming.
No.
And it was a second needle right there. 2 needles in my buttocks.
And I felt his arms on my shoulder.
Better right after.
And I never felt better.
Oh man,
I've never had that shot golden. Up the shooter. Does yeah, it, I mean,
wow, is, no, I've never.
So that's not a needle. That's more of like a probe or a
yeah, no,
a turkey he, baster.
He's
turkey baster.
He's describing it wrong.
That was a cheek needle. Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, he's
double cheek needle.
Oh my god,
oh, that
Blake.
Wasn't too bad.
Yeah, there's some big old cheek needles in the Navy. They give you this peanut butter shot. Mm. Boy, I tell you what, man, you think about it for a long time because it stays with you. You can't sit down for like 2 days.
Yeah,
it's some thick stuff they put through your butt, man.
But what?
Pause.
When you're sick?
In a needle, huh?
When you're sick.
He's going overseas.
No.
Oh, this
no,
is...
No, when you just get on
oh,
in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. You're part of our system. You're going to need this shot.
Okay.
Damn.
Covers everything.
Yeah, so you can repel all the stuff.
Yeah.
Same shot they give you after the port calls.
There you go.
All right, boys, line on up. We know what you've been doing out here. Shoot you up. Clean that system out for you. let's go to some Major Arena Soccer League, St. Louis Anbush. They got a guy named Chili Willie. It's all pretty right. Cold out there. Old Chili Willie, he's cold.
Wanted Frank, or maybe wanted the goal. Uzi trying it to the delight of these faithful. Frank squeezes it in. SK! Oh, Will SK! Oh, baby! Like he's huffing a helium tank at a wicked screening. We're tied. There is nothing prettier than an outside foot banger like that one. Chili Willy SK.
Chili Willy.
Is that our guy moonlighting for indoor soccer from our guy from Cincinnati?
That's what I was looking, bro.
Zanaboni?
That's what I was looking. I think it might be.
He's moonlighting. He's got an off-season gig.
Sounds like him.
Yeah, yeah, it does sound like him. I was looking for it, too.
Squeezes it in SK! Oh!
Yeah, it's him.
Oh, Will SK! Oh, baby!
And this gave it away, right? Yeah, this.
Oh, yeah.
Defying gravity there like he's huffing a helium tank at a wicked screening! We're tied!
He's trying to put more growl in his voice.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like it. We first got him like 5 years ago doing baseball with the Fred Nats.
Yeah.
Regensburg Nationals.
Yeah.
Fred Nats, I like that. Yeah.
He's blowing up too. I guess he did ESPN and MLB Network in 2023.
Gus Johnson.
Oh.
This isn't one either.
Winner.
Because I have to get rid of it before the year is up. You know what I mean? I got to get rid of this stuff.
Yeah.
And before it comes too outdated. You know what I'm talking about? Gus Johnson right here. I don't know why he's talking like this.
Iowa State. Tate again. Carnell Tate. What a wonderful story. This young man lost his mother prior to his freshman year. She was murdered in a drive-by shooting in Chicago. But he continues to thrive. Howard.
Come a wonderful story.
Just an amazing story.
Howard.
Come on, Gus.
The kind of story you hear once and you just want to hear it again.
I think Gus was trying to get all his notes in that he took during the day.
What an incredible story.
Yeah.
Good Lord, man.
Now let's go to L.A. Live.
The drive-by details definitely weren't needed.
And then last one right here is this kid. Buddy's in trouble.
Uh-oh.
His parents are looking for him. You probably told him, I'm going to be over here, and he's actually over there. Mm. You know, that type of thing we used to do when we were teenagers.
Yeah.
Mm. Parents can see all the way through it. They really can. They're so good at it. But this guy, his dad called. I think his dad is Bruce Wayne. I'm not sure.
I'm pissed. Where you at?
I'm in North Liberty.
Doing what?
I'm at Asher's house.
Your mom's on her way to get you.
Okay. Okay.
Call your mom and tell her where the f*** you're at.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Bruce Wayne is the dad.
Where the dog's going?
Bruce Wayne, bro.
He is.
Ouchie.
Where is she?
Where is she?
Everybody gets
this sounds about like a 2 week grounding, maybe 2 months. You know, I stayed grounded as a kid from about 12 to 17. Okay, we got Fan After Dark, Blake Elliott's root canal story. Said he wasn't too bad. Joey Zamboni there with the St. Louis Ambush Chili Willy call. Gus Johnson's story about a kid whose mom passed away when he was a freshman. Dad calls kid asking for where he is.
I'm in North Liberty.
I know, of course.
Doing what?
Doing what?
I'll go with Fan After Dark, Chief.
I will go with that kid right there.
Lucius?
Joey Zamboni.
We're still tied at one. We'll check.
Man, I think Blake and Joey here are both, they should both get votes. They really should. I don't know if I can go with a double vote.
You can go with a half vote.
Be unprecedented.
I'm going halves. I'm halvesies.
We're tied at 1.5, Brian.
Fan After Dark.
By a score of 2.5 to 1.5 to 1, and your new G-Bag of the Day champion, it's Blake Elliott once again with a somewhat accurate depiction of his shot there for the penicillin.
Where are you at?
That was good. Man.
That's good.
Chuck Wagon coming up next. Zach, where are you taking us?
All right. Rob Manfred's got an idea for starting pitching. Bill hits his first big portal again, and don't mess with Adam Schefter. That's next.
Oh, thank you, Lucius. G-Bag Nation, it's time for a Chuck Wagon. Here's Zach.
All right, so Rob Manfred was speaking again, which is kind of meant some interesting rule proposals for Major League Baseball. So one conversation that we've been having is starting pitching and trying to get starting pitchers to go deeper in games. So Rob Manfred was asked about that. He said, you know, that's just too blunt an instrument to fix the problem. I do see both problems as pretty serious. I think the injury issue, which their physicians have studied carefully and believe that it's a focus on velocity and spin rate, which is the specific cause for the increase of injuries, according to an MLB study. He did say that one of the things that happens today, guy pitches 3 days in a row, gets outrighted. They bring somebody else in to give him some rest. So he's talking bullpen here, but he thinks they need to create incentives through things like roster rules, transaction rules for clubs to develop pitchers who go deeper in the game. But I don't think it can be prescriptive. You have to go six innings. Doesn't think that that's fair. Says, I think it has to be a series of rules to create incentives for the clubs to develop pitchers of a certain type. So if you do have, say, a pitcher that's going 7 innings into a game regularly, maybe they develop some type of rule where you're able to carry an extra body. Do you get draft pick incentives here? I don't know. I know the double hook was something that they worked on in the minor leagues where the starting pitcher's tied to the DH slot. So the longer you're starting pitchers in the game, you're able to have your DH. As soon as you're starting pitchers out, you no longer have a DH. They didn't like that. They'd rather go with maybe altering the rules that allow clubs to treat their pitching staff as interchangeable pieces and maybe just add the incentives. I don't know, but they are trying to work out something where the pitchers are still the focus.
So I'm not sure I understand this. They want less injury, so they want the starters to go longer?
They're saying that the increase in the velocity and the spin rate is the reason for it. They don't believe that it's contributed to the amount of pitches. So maybe they are suggesting that is tweaked in the game.
Huh. Yeah, I just don't see the correlation.
But it doesn't sound like he's really thought a ton into it when you're adding the injury here element of it. And then I understand it. Like, ideally, it'd be cool to see a starting pitcher do what Nolan Ryan used to do back in the day. But it just doesn't seem like with how – I don't think it's going to change where these guys are going to throw any less hard.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think the entertainment value is going to be helped at all. I don't think there's a financial payoff. You know, I like the idea of more roster spots, maybe more pitchers take their workload down.
Yeah.
You know, target, maybe limit the amount of innings you could pitch. I just think right now, even though you have this many injuries, there's still a tremendous incentive for the players, right? And the players throwing as hard as they can with maximum spin rate is what's going to get them paid. And the teams have showed they don't care that if you get a Tommy John, you still get the same contract, you know. Just look what the Rangers did with DeGrom. So, you know, I think as long as this amount of money is out there and pitching is this important, you know, is there a way to limit the importance of pitching or the incentive to throw that hard? I don't know how you would tweak the rule.
Like, the starting pitchers have always been on the forefront of the game. That's a reason why you want to watch. You want to go to watch said pitcher. So he wants to basically just incentivize the teams to make sure that if somebody's buying a ticket, I know that I'm going to see this starting pitcher instead of 5 innings, like guys are maybe getting pulled now, I'm going to see him for 6 or 7 innings and get my money's worth here. Now, I don't know.
The more pitches, the more risk injury.
Yeah. And
shorten the season?
That could be.
I mean, I'm not, and I know there are people out there that are
baseball, take away some starts.
Baseball purists, you're 162. I get it. I'm not trying to mess with your game that way. How about, you said add more to the roster, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the owners are not going to go with that, right? Initially.
No.
Okay, this is where now you can collectively bargain, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Players Association, we're going to put 3 more pitchers on everybody's roster. We're going to expand the rosters to 28 players. give us a break on something. Let's negotiate something that if we're going to take on the cost of three more arms per team to help, you got to give us a break on some type of some salary or something like that to fit that in. I think that's if I was ownership, that's what I would offer. I would say, hey, we're gonna expand these rosters. We're gonna give every team three more spots for pitchers to have. So if that's the case, you give us something back because we're having to pay more salary. We're probably having to pay depending on what type of pitcher we have.
We can allow you to keep the minimum salary lower. You know, you so that guy, yeah, those guys aren't kicking our teeth in.
Yeah, I need to make up something along the way. But if you that the Players Association want as many roster spots as they can get, they want more because that means their base, their rank and file have more jobs. So to me, I'm kind of like, if I'm owner, I'm like, okay, I want three more pitchers to help my rotation. But you got to give me something back for the costs I'm about to incur by paying these three pitchers.
Yeah, I think all of those are good ideas. The shortened season got texted in quite a bit. Maybe that is something that they would look at if the injuries continue.
20 games less?
Go to a six-man rotation from the 9-7-2. I mean, there's a lot of things. I think that this is something that they're going to have to workshop for a while, you know, to figure out what they like here. Now, you guys had to have seen what Shefty did yesterday, just dunking all over Gottlieb. This was absolutely incredible. Don't mess with the Shefty.
I learned about it from Fred and Blake last night.
Unreal.
As it was happening in real time. I was like, oh my gosh. Is this? I thought they might have been getting ball sacked in real time.
Oh no.
But it's true. It's real.
It's absolutely true. Have, you know, a back-channeled fact checked it. This is legit. So if you don't remember, Gottlieb did work with Shefty at one point at ESPN before he took this job at Green Bay.
How did they do last year, by the way?
Was he a coach?
No,
this is his first year, and they're not doing well.
Okay.
So we talked about Sacramento State, you know, before we left the show, looking at Michael Vick as a head coach, and Schefter had the report that he mentioned that Sacramento State's NIL collective has raised $50 million for a potential move to the FBS. Hopefully in the Pac-12. Gottlieb then quote tweeted him and said, Jesus, Shefty, edit what agents tell you. There's a 0.0% chance Sac State has $50 million in NIL. Shefty replies, the Sac-12 leading the school's NIL efforts already announced it has reached its initial goal of raising $50 million in NIL funds to strengthen the school's case for an invitation to the Pac-12 or the Mountain West Conference. Then he says, and Jesus, Doug, a 7-game losing streak and last place in the Horizon League. Less time on social media and more time in the gym. And proceeded to put the entire standings of the Horizon League, in which Green Bay is sitting there at dead last.
The Horizon League standings, not something I ever imagined would be addressed on this particular program. But that was quite the clap back there. I get the initial, because we know what, Schefter probably did copy and paste whatever the heck that tweet was from an email that he got or a text that he got, and that's the way it goes. And $50 million, when we're talking about the top programs in football having like $20 million, it's a lot. All of a sudden, SAC is bringing out $50 million. That does seem a little bit like, what's up? But I guess if Schefter's doubling down on it, then maybe it is real. So I get the initial inquiry there from Gottlieb, but it's also fair to say, like, dude, you're doing a lot right now. You're watchdogging my tweets while you're hosting a radio show and coaching the Green Bay basketball team to a very poor record, and you look like you're in the sauna every time we look at you on the sidelines because you're stressed out and you're sweating like Sean Miller and Bruce Pearl had a baby together.
Yeah, come on, dude, priorities. You got enough over there to keep you busy. Why don't you worry about yourself, what's going on in your own house there. Bill Belichick. It has started there at Chapel Bill yesterday. They secured their first transfer portal. And Holy Cross is making a big, big statement in the G-Bag Nation this week. I think we've mentioned Holy Cross more on this show over the last 2 days than we have in the last 3 to 4 years Eric and I have been with you guys.
Coker, the wide receiver.
They're getting former Holy Cross offensive lineman Christo Kelly. He is committed to the Heels. So there is the first portal win for Chapel Bill. Congratulations. And then UNT has landed an interesting named quarterback, Reese Poffenbarger. He's a transfer from Miami. You know anything about this kid?
I don't know much about Poffenbarger. I can't really speak on his abilities.
Elite name.
Poffenbarger. Yeah, it is. Shout out to Deion Sanders in Colorado. He has gotten one of the top defensive tackles in the
portal. Alabama, right?
Yeah, Jaheim Oates.
I think he's number one.
He's absolutely fantastic, and I guess, I mean, all of the momentum is Deion staying there at Colorado right now. That's what he's been telling Pac-Man Jones, and it seems as though maybe he isn't going anywhere.
Well, that's what you have to do in a situation
right
like
now.
This.
100, you're right, 100%.
He can do nothing else, even though Antonio Pierce being pushed aside with the Vegas Raiders seems more and more likely by the second.
It really does.
If I'm in Deion's shoes, I'm happy at Colorado, but if the kid gets drafted by a team willing to hire me, we're moving on.
Yeah.
You know?
If the opportunity just lines up.
Do you think that Tom Brady maybe steps in? I know Mark Davis is great friends with Jerry Jones. Does he call Jerry and ask him about Deion Sanders and all that stuff like that? Good. The type of person and all? And maybe this is where, maybe they're keeping this thing so low key that Mark Davis, it might not be Brady the one making the coaching decision. It might be Mark Davis saying, listen, I have a chance to get both Sanders here in Vegas.
Be the talk of the town.
I don't care, Tom. You're the minority owner. I don't care if you're telling me about six or seven other dudes. This is the guy we're going to go get.
If you're that NFL team, you're thinking, if we're going to stay with our head coach, could Deion be an assistant or position coach coordinator?
I think he goes only as the head coach.
Yeah.
I think he now has.
He's just so big of a personality. I couldn't imagine him as an assistant.
I
don't think that works.
The thing about him is always going to be about, you know, the staff. And, you know, he's got Pat Shurmur, who was a former pro, you know, coach, offensive coordinator, head coach in the league. Pat did a really good job with that offense this year. You know,
with Case Keenum in Minnesota.
Deion just seems to have a good relationship with Antonio Pierce as well.
But if they move on, does he feel like
he's doing Antonio Pierce a disservice?
But he's trying to figure out, like, how can I get with my son?
Yeah.
My son gives me my best chance to win. So I think all, you know, hey, this is a business. Pierce has got to know that, you know, and whatever decisions, if it's his best friend getting this gig, you got to just say, hey, good luck, man. There's a lot of things that probably aren't good about this job, and you'll probably figure them all out. But, yeah, good luck to you, you know.
Thank you, old Chuck.
Thank you.
All right, C-Note's coming up at 3:20. Why Jerry Jones has taken home an award that nobody wants, but Wolchuk's going back-to-back here for us early in the show with NFL News of the Day. Zach, anything to tease?
We got a Super Bowl promise, Man Campbell's radio speech, and Mike is talking about his future.